The Athletic.
The Athletic Women's Football Podcast is proudly partnered with Now. With a Now Sports membership, you can watch the biggest moments from the Women's Super League live. Find out more at nowtv.com.
They've had their warning. They've had their warning. Here's Lucy Bronze!
That is remarkable from Arsenal.
Kirby with the ball up towards
Hello and welcome to the Athletic Women's Football Podcast in partnership with Now. Coming up, the Lionesses' future looks bright. England cause Spain pain and a bridge too far. It's Kate Borsay here, joined by England legend Kelly Smith and BBC football commentator Robin Cowan. Hello to you both. How are you, Kelly?
I'm very well. Thank you for having me on again. It's always a pleasure to be on this podcast with you lovely ladies.
I know you've been watching England closely in the Arnold Clark Cup, and of course we're going to speak in depth about that in the podcast. What else have you been up to? Without giving too much away, you're building up to a surprise, aren't you, after the show?
Yeah, it is a surprise. Well, this will be aired after, so I can actually say, I'm in Northampton right now at my agent's office. We're just waiting to head up to Huddersfield to present the Huddersfield women's team with a surprise.
And Kelly Smith. Ta-da! Robin, how are you? How have you fared the storms, by the way? Hope everything's still intact in the garden.
Yes, everything was battened down, all the hatches that we have. it was fun and games, wasn't it? Although Serena Wiegmann didn't look like she was enjoying herself very, very much, did she? And also, I really should have unfollowed Lindsay Hooper on Instagram. That was a big mistake.
Lindsay, of course, is on her honeymoon at the moment in Mauritius. She's having a jolly old time. It did rain for one day, and I did text her this morning and said, has it stopped raining yet? Hoping for a no. But yes, it has stopped raining, and she's enjoying some well-earned time off on a sun lounger. Well, it's the international break right now, isn't it? And the Lionesses battling it out in the inaugural Arnold Clark Cup. Four teams, England, Canada, Germany and Spain, a round robin over three match days. Two are done, there's one to go. So let's see how the Lionesses have been getting on. And so we can take a full view on how England have progressed so far, we're going to start with the first game first, England versus Canada.
Well, England wanted a test and now they have it. They go short once more and Canada's still not ready. And in he goes and Sheridan pushes it away and bites! Oh! That is stunning! From the centre-back, with top-class technique, what a goal from Millie Bright. Lawrence, she's in full flow now, gliding across the pitch. Heitema helps it on, Becky, time to cut inside, a go-on! Oh, that's the quality there, Janine Becky, Canada's second best in this game, but a reminder of their quality. What an excellent goal that is.
Well, no one knew quite what was going to happen when England played Canada, the first top team they'd faced under new manager Serena Wiegmann, but it was all bright on the night. Yes, Millie Bright hit an outstanding side volley, giving England the lead. Then Canada came alive in the second half with Manchester City's Janine Becky scoring a stunning long-range goal that curled into the top corner. It ended 1-1 at the Riverside Stadium in Middlesbrough. Kelly, let's get your take on this one first of all. As we said, the first true test, really, for this Lionesses side under Serena Wiegmann. How do you think they held up?
I thought they had a fantastic game overall, especially the first half. It was mainly England all attacking. I think Canada come into it better the second half. But what I found interesting with England is their ability to win the ball back quickly, high up the pitch. And especially they were aggressive on the turnover and quick in transition. I thought Lauren Hemp was outstanding. When she got the ball, you know, she makes people get off their seat. She's such an exciting player to watch. And I was just really delighted, because I think second half it was a different change in style from Canada. They were more attacking, more on the front foot, and England had to deny Canada space, and they were pushed tactically, I felt. I was really impressed with the first half, and especially the second half, how resolute they were in their defending, and it was an exciting game.
Yeah, it was. Canada in their off-season, aren't they? Well, the majority of players are anyway, that are playing in the NWSL. So there was a bit of a question about whether Canada would be at the same level as they were, having won the Olympics, Robin. But I didn't think we had too many concerns there. They were definitely better in the second half. When we look at the attack, and we'll talk about this in the Spain game as well, Kelly, perhaps more, but how would you change England's attack to maybe use Russo and Toon more? I thought Frank Kirby was pretty quiet as well in this one. Is that an issue with midfield, or is it just simply confidence in front of goal?
I think I don't like Frank Kirby out on the right personally. I think she's more of a 10 playing behind an Ellen White or a Russo. She's more creative in those spaces where she can pick the ball up, drive and run. When she's stuck on the right and she's expected to beat someone 1v1, that's not playing to her strength. So for me, Kirby was playing out of position. So it's going to be hard for her to dominate and dictate the tempo of the game. But with Russo, obviously it was her first start. You know, her link-up play is good. She likes to come to feet, will drop into midfield to create overloads. But she's still new to this England team. So, you know, I do see Ellen White as being the main striker going into the Euros. But you've got a good, strong, another player in Russo to come in. And she offers a lot of different things. She's a lot more powerful in her running into the channels. And for me, Ella Toon, you know, is your creative player. That I don't think they found her enough in the Canada game, in those pockets of spaces for her to dictate. I do question her physicality at times when you play against a Canadian team that's a lot bigger and stronger. She's great technically, but can she hold off players? Can she be on the front foot more and turn and face up? So for me, you know, I would prefer Kirby in that 10 role ahead of Toon.
Interesting. There was that Williamson, Kira Walsh two-person pivot as well, which I thought was interesting, Robin. What about Canada? Who impressed for Canada here? I'd stupidly forgotten how good Ashley Lawrence is. They have got some fabulous players. We saw Jessie Fleming, of course, really stepping up in the second half, didn't we?
Yeah, she really did. And she's having a really good season at Chelsea. And I think that's translated, hasn't it? Because, I mean, it does seem to be the way, actually, when Chelsea recruit players, they usually tend to have a season of sort of integrating and then they start firing. I think with Canada, although they have a lot of extremely talented, athletic, technical players, it's really noticeable that it's all about the team and the group. They're just so organised. Bev Priestman has been just a brilliant coach. They're just so well coached. And I think that's even more impressive, the fact that, as you mentioned, Kate, they were mostly out of season, but they came in, slotted in, you know, knew exactly what they were supposed to do. You know, they've got ridiculous pace, as we've seen with Deanne Rose. You know, she can just put the afterburners on and get past pretty much everyone. They're just a really impressive team, I feel. So although they do have some very talented individuals, I think the collective is the thing that's made them so successful.
Yeah, Canada really blocking England off in the wide areas in the second half. Set pieces, Kelly, really important for England as well. And Millie's goal really coming off a set piece shows how important and well-drilled really England need to be against tough opposition. And using that discipline via set pieces, you know, should be an absolute go-to, shouldn't it, really, for this team?
Yeah, and I think they've scored something like 13 goals in their qualifiers on set pieces. So they're clearly working on them and their movement in and around the box and their cohesiveness. But what I was impressed about with Millie Bright was it was kind of like a striker's movement. She went in, arced her run out, and kind of was anticipating where the ball would drop. And just her technique to keep her head down and use her laces and kind of angle her foot level to strike the ball, it was like it was a striker's finish.
Yeah.
And I used to play as a striker as a kid, you know, starting out in her career. So that's, you know, put her in good stead for that. But I just thought her defensive work also throughout the whole game, what I like about her is she's probably not the best in terms of her quality on the ball with distribution like a Leah Williamson or a Steph, but she gives you that brick wall effect. She loves to put her body on the line. She likes to be aggressive. And
she really steps up in the big moments, doesn't she? We've seen that for Chelsea so often.
And when you've got that kind of person in your team, when you see them fighting for every ball and hating when they lose the ball, it gives you that extra lift seeing that one of your leaders is doing that. So, yeah, I thought she was outstanding on the night.
I think also it's her reading of the game as well, because obviously she's not the quickest, but she just knows where to be at the right place at the right time. And I personally think she's having the best season of her career. And I just wonder if that's to do with, you know, Magdalena Eriksson's been out for so long for Chelsea and she's stepped up. Hmm. I just remember thinking back to, I did the Chelsea game against Man City, which was so tight, But right at the very end, she clears a ball that was heading for the top corner with her head. Yeah. And I just think she's just in the zone at the moment. She's going to start for England in the Euros if she's fit. I just think she's having the best season of her life.
Well, before the Arnold Clark Cup, England had lost their last seven matches against sides currently ranked in the world's top 10. So could we see a missing piece of the jigsaw puzzle here start to fall into place? Well, in the other match on Thursday, Spain drew 1-1 to Germany. Alexia Putellas scored at the start of the second half for Spain, but Germany got a late equaliser thanks to Lea Schüller, ending Spain's 16-game run of clean sheets. Next up for England was that Spain side with, of course, the Ballon d'Or winner, Alexia Putellas.
It's the hosts of this summer's Euros against the team most tipped to take that title. All the pressure from England might pay off here. It's hit! Oh, couldn't have come closer. Knops making the break, and she's found. And here is the chance for Knops. Can she go all the way? Tracks it wide. It almost paid off there. Spain flooding shirts forward. Carter got something on that, but not enough of it. Del Castillo! And, oh, there is Hampton, right at the net.
So up against the likes of Barcelona greats Putellas, Jenny Hermoso and Aitana Bonmatí, England knew that this game was going to be a challenge. That's why a few eyebrows were raised when Savina Wiegmann made 9 changes for the game. But after Lauren Hemp hit the woodwork, Jordan Knobbs sent her shot wide and Hannah Hampton saved some rockets from Spain's Athenia del Castillo. It ended in a 0-0 draw at Norwich's Carrow Road. Robin, Spain favourites to win the Euros, 66% possession in this game. Classic Spain, really. But England were organised and they held on well, creating attacking chances too. Did Serena Wiegmann's tactics work in this one for you completely?
I think, well, the only thing missing, obviously, was an England goal. But yeah, pretty much. And I think the most impressive thing was that she made, was it 9 changes? And they still managed to pull off a really good performance. You know, a lot of these players... Well, actually, I saw people describing them as fringe players, but then you look.
But they are.
Actually, no, they are. Yeah. The depth is excellent.
Yeah. And, yeah. I think it's 69 caps on average for that side. So
you can't really call them fringe, can you?
No, you can't. You can't.
Maybe not certain starters, but, you know, as you say, England showed a different side of them. I like the flexibility they showed. It wasn't like, okay, this is how we're going to play. Plan A doesn't work. We're going to do that better. Serena Wiegmann's clearly like assessing the opposition and seeing how England can impose themselves and stop them, stop their strengths. So, yeah, again, just really promising. And also, yeah, this is the other thing that made me laugh, was that people were really disappointed. Some people were disappointed when they saw the starting 11 and they were like, oh, you know, this isn't what we want to see. And then clearly Wiegmann, I just love the attitude of, no, I'm preparing this team, this squad for the tournament. This isn't about entertaining you almost. This kind of, the spectacle is sort of second. We need to make sure that we're prepared. And I just really like that about her.
Yeah, she had the last laugh, I think, at Serena Wiegmann with this one. And Kelly, for England, it's about having confidence and trusting what's going on when they're not on the ball. And that was so important in this game, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. You know, I think they showed how well they are progressing, England, especially without the ball, and how good they are becoming defensively. Really tight, compact, patient. Discipline, and they had chances in the game to beat Spain, just weren't clinical enough. And when you're playing against a team like Spain or a Germany or even a Canada, when you get that one or two chances, you don't get, as a striker, you don't get a lot of chances in these top international games. And when you get that one or two chance, you have to make it count. And for me, England haven't been doing that. Obviously, the 20-0 and the 10-0 is too easy for them. So when you get a better opposition, it's that concentration, it's that composure that these players need in front of goal. And for me, they didn't have it in this Spanish game. Yes, they created chances. It's a positive. But where is the goal at the end of the day to get you into a semi-final, to get you to win a Euros? That's what England need to focus on in those final third areas for me.
There's a good point from Jesse Parker-Humphreys in their piece for the Offside website. And they said key to England's ability to stay on top for large periods of the match was their high turnovers. The front four, Beth Mead, Ellen White, Nikita Paris and Jordan Nobbs, harried Spain, closing down their passing lanes. Yet despite the successful pressure on Spain's defence, England were unable to use any of those turnovers to mount an effective attack. And I thought that summed it up really well, Robin.
Yeah, well, I think, yeah, Kelly has also pointed out it's just the final product. So that's the thing. Clearly, Wiegmann has got them very organised and she knows, they clearly know what they want to do and they're executing what she's asked them to do. It's just having that little bit of stardust. And, you know, Ellen White is so reliable and reliable at tournaments. She's not had her best season. I don't think she hasn't played as much as she'd like. But if a chance falls to her, she's the one you want in front of goal.
Yeah, I'm sort of having a bit of a deliberation about Ellen White because she sort of sometimes makes me think that she's not doing a lot, although I know she is, and she's reliable for goals. But, you know, even in this game, she sort of fell to that sort of textbook White issue of keeping running offside, I suppose. And that's obviously part of her game, right? But Kelly, what do you think about England's attack? When we look forward to the Euros, where do you sit with England's attack going forward and Ellen White?
Ellen White's a big game player. We've seen it. She's proved it in tournaments. I actually heard someone say she's just an international player. You know, she doesn't really turn up for Man City. But she hasn't had the best season, like Robin said. I don't necessarily agree with that. But she does deliver it when it matters in big tournaments. And that's what you want from a striker playing for England. Yes, she hasn't. I think she scored 3 goals for City this season. She's been in and out of the team because of Bunny Shaw. Maybe her form's not as, because she's not been playing regularly in consistency. But don't get me wrong. When these Euros come round, she'll be England's number one. She has to be because of her work rate, her leadership, her goal scoring, the way she turns
she's
up.
All-time top goal scorer, isn't she, for England?
And don't forget we've got Beth England is out injured. She potentially can come into the mix. Russo's growing as a young forward. Kirby.
And in the future, Lauren James as well has got to be a very, very interesting prospect.
Yeah, Lauren James, for me, I've trained with her at Arsenal before she moved away to United. She was phenomenal as a 16-year-old. Couldn't get the ball off of her. But yeah, I think maybe this Euros will come a bit too soon for Lauren James because of hasn't played a lot for Chelsea in the build-up to team selection. But yeah, she's certainly a player that is so good technically and so, I guess, fast on the dribble. And you cannot get the ball off her. She's so strong and she can thread the ball through with ease to make the final pass. And I know why Emma Hayes has signed her because she is going to be a top talent in a good few years.
When Lauren Hemp came on, she almost immediately had a chance. Well, she did immediately have a chance, didn't she, Robin? She's such an important player to have as part of this England setup because she does offer something different. She offers something new. She's exciting for me. Who else for you looks like they're making themselves a starter?
I think the obvious ones, the ones that we've already talked about, like Millie Bright, Leah Williamson. I mean, Leah Williamson may even be captain at this tournament. Yeah, we don't know yet. I think on Hemp, she's got everything. She's strong, direct, quick. The only small problem is, and not for City, she is still those sort of stats like assists and goals. She just needs a little, like, she's the width of a post away, literally, isn't she? Of being able to score like over and over again. Just sometimes, occasionally she makes the wrong decision, but then I forget just how young she is.
Yeah, she's 21, isn't she? I think.
Ridiculous. So. But I would have her in because she's also not only attacking threat, especially in the game against Canada, defensively tracking back, she was helping out and they honestly couldn't get past her. So yeah, she is so important, both aspects of the game.
Talking about 21-year-olds, making a debut, Hannah Hampton in this game. Superb, Kelly.
Yeah, she was very solid. I think she had a couple of shaky moments, which you're going to get making your debut for your national side. But in terms of her overall commanding of the box, her distribution, I thought I was very impressed with her. And we're lucky as a national team, we've got 3 very good goalkeepers to rely on at any given moment. So, yeah, it was great to see her have her opportunity against a very good Spanish side. You know, you're not going in against a Latvia where you're not really going to see any action. So she was tested in terms of, you know, her concentration levels. And as I said before, her distribution was very good.
Yeah. She said after the game that she acted as a bit of a translator for the England team. She's fluent in Spanish. She spent some time over there as a youngster. So she was really listening to everything Spain was saying. So I love that sort of, you know, hidden help there for England. Let's talk about the defence. We will move on to Spain in just a second and just sum up where we are with them. But I do want to talk about the defence. The back line for this one stayed for the whole game, the whole 90. Lucy Bronze, Jess Carter, Alex Greenwood, Rachel Daly. What did you make of that combination, Robin?
Most of it I liked. I still think that Rachel Daly is so difficult because she doesn't play as a right back. She certainly doesn't play as a left back for her club. She plays as a sort of forward, doesn't she? Is it Houston Dash? I think she is. I mean, she's a very good player. And I think, you know, the sort of cliche would be, oh, it's good to have those sort of utility players. But I just wonder if she's being sort of used in the right way. She can clearly do a job right back, left back.
I guess it's also the issue of her being a good player, but you either use her at the back or you don't use her at all, maybe because of the setup and the talent in other positions. Let's talk about Spain then. We've already sort of referenced how dangerous it is to think about Spain as Barcelona because they are not. Really, really frustrated in front of goal. And I think part of that is to England's credit. What did you think of Puteas and actually Del Castillo, I think, Kelly, for me, coming on at the start of the second half, she made a big difference, didn't she, for Spain?
Yeah, she did. Oh, just touching on Puteas, she's just so easy on the eye to watch, the way she gets on the ball and creates stuff and her composure. She always seems like she has 1 or 2 seconds more than everybody else to pick a final ball or just to keep possession for her team. But yeah, the player that you're talking about coming on, I think she was outstanding. You know, she really bossed it in there. Phenomenal player. You also got Matty, great dribbler of the ball. She dictated a lot of the game in the middle of the park for Spain. So it was interesting to see the middle of the park fight between Spain because they have, you know, three world-class players. We had Jordan Nobbs, Jill Scott and Stanway, who probably aren't the best in terms of keeping possession. But I can see why Serena picked those three for the pressurising, the hustling, the chasing down. But I think if we were to see England v Spain in the Euros, I think we'd see a very, very different midfield than we did in this game.
Who would you put in that midfield? I actually thought Jordan Nobbs was really good in this game. Yeah. She definitely showed a lot of punch, perhaps more punch than I've seen for her in the WSL. If we were playing around with that midfield against Spain, should the tie come up again, who would you put in there?
I would put Williamson and Walsh. I think that has worked out well. And that just gives us that extra defensive edge in the middle of the park when we are overloaded, so to speak. And then I would put Frank Kirby in as that 10. I just think they're all very good, comfortable ball players that can keep possession for you. Leah Williamson can break lines with passes. You've got Frank Kirby to get on and create in the middle. And then Kira Walsh, outstanding when she gets on the ball. So these are three good technical players that really can control the game in the middle of the park for England. Mm.
That Williamson-Walsh combination, awesome, Robin. I thought Kira Walsh has really, just over these two games even, but she was building up to it, really cemented her case for a starting position for England going forward.
Well, I think she's cemented it pretty much since she came into the England team. I think she must be one of the most, since she won her first cap, one of the most played players. I know Phil Neville loved her. And actually, I think with Williamson beside her, she might be even better because I think she almost had a little bit too much responsibility before. She was kind of the almost sort of sole defensive midfielder. So she had to sort of break up attacks and also, you know, pull off these brilliant diagonal balls that she manages to execute time and time again. So yeah, I think Wiegmann, I don't disrespectfully say she stumbled upon this because I'm sure she hasn't, but Williamson, obviously, I mean, Williamson has not played there for Arsenal very much, but I believe when she was in England youth international, that's her position, that central midfield role. So it's not something that she's unfamiliar with.
Yeah. At the end of the game, Serena Wiegmann rightly pointed out her embarrassment of riches. She even sounded surprised about it, Kelly, that you know, quite the kind of depth and breadth of her squad. I think she was really delighted. I mean, she used a hell of a lot of players over both games, and she was genuinely chuffed with having all of these options. It's probably the strongest element to this England side at the moment, isn't it? I think, Kelly, is the huge amount of talented options Serena Wiegmann's got. And she looks like she's the right tactician to make the best of them.
Yeah, the squad now for England, you look at the names down on the sheet and you can play anyone and feel very confident that they're going to go out and deliver on the biggest stage for England. Certainly over the last, I don't know, 5-6 years, we've probably struggled with players coming off the bench and impacting or creating. But yeah, you know, any of those bench players now can start for this England side and really have a real big impact. And there's players that are in fantastic form, like Beth Mead. You know, Fran Kirby's dipped in and out last few games for Chelsea. And as I said before, you still got Beth England to come into that mix. Mm. She scores goals when she plays, certainly for Chelsea, when she gets her chance and for England. So there's still, you know, a few more players to come into that fold if there's some injuries.
Well, England is the first team to stop Spain from scoring since the USA did on the 8th of March 2020. There you go. That's a nice little stat. All right. Are you ready to both play a little game, as painful as this is going to be, when we talk about the amount of talent that Wiegmann has at her fingertips? I think it's about time. We've done a little bit of this already, but shall we try and pick an England starting lineup for the Euros? We know she's going to tinker around with it a lot. That just is how she gets the best out of her team. But who is nailed on? Who do we put against any unnamed opposition? So this is difficult because we're not setting up for a specific side. So I'm going to pick the back line. Robin, you're going to get the midfield. And Kelly, you're going to choose the forwards. Okay. I'm really, by the way, in a dilemma about the goalkeeper, so I might need a bit of help. I know Kelly mentioned three options, but even, you know, Sandy McKeever's arguably not having a great season so far, but, you know, there is four options there, really. And we haven't seen any of Ellie Roebuck, have we, Robin? Mary Earps in the game against Canada. Hampton was great against Spain. I don't know where I am with this at all. So this is the only position that's genuinely absolutely foxed me. So I need some help on this one, Robin. Who would you put in goal?
Oh, this is the hardest one, I think. It's really hard because, if I'm being totally honest, I was a little bit surprised and kind of, oh, what's the point of putting Hannah Hampton in? You know, because I don't think she's going to start. But she performed so brilliantly. And she's made quite a few errors against for Aston Villa this season in the WSL, but she was brilliant. She's clearly the best passer, I think, out of the three. But, you know, you'd just be slightly worried given her lack of international experience. So I think probably not her. And then I think probably Mary Earps is the front runner simply because Ellie Roebuck's had this injury. But having said that, I think if Roebuck finishes the season strongly with Man City,
it's going to be her, isn't it?
It's going to be her. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So I'm just going to wheel off my back line for you now. We haven't got a lot of time for debate, but if anyone thinks this is awful, please do shout up. So I've gone for a centre-back pairing of Millie Bright and Alex Greenwood. Alex Greenwood's in there because of her set pieces. I think that's going to be a really important part to Wiegmann's side. Fullback, I've gone for Jess Carter because I can't ignore her. At the moment, she's having such a good season. She can play centrally as well, so she's useful. So I've put Jess Carter in there, and then Lucy Bronze as well. There's no Steph Horton for me because she's injured. I know she's going to have some part in the Euros, but is she going to be there as reliably as those other players? Not for me at the moment. So that is what I have gone for in defence. Robin, you take the midfield.
Well, I think Kelly basically did it earlier, and I think I agree. The midfield, Williamson and Walsh, really like that a lot. And then, Kelly said you'd put Fran Kirby as the 10, which I really like as well. But just because she has been labelled as a forward on the FA website, I believe. For me, it's probably between Stanway and Nobbs. I think Nobbs perhaps slightly more intricate passing, you know, awareness. Stanway is possibly a more reliable source of a goal, especially a long ranger. She loves one of them. And also she could play as a forward as well, actually, Georgia Stanway. I think if we're going on emotion, a personal level, Jordan Nobbs has had such a bad luck with timings of injuries and tournaments. It just breaks my heart, honestly.
Yeah,
because she was at the World Cup. She was with the BBC with us when she was like looking longingly on the pitch with her ACL injury. So what I'd love to see is her finish the season really strongly. I think we saw glimpses, as you said, Kate, of that in the last game against Spain. And yeah, let's see her at a tournament. Let's see what she can do.
Okay, so we're going for a 4-3-3, aren't we? Who are your front three, Kelly Smith?
Well, it has to be Lauren Hemp starting, just from seeing her play this season. I agree with Robin. She needs to add more assists and more goals to her games, but she gets herself in those great positions. And when you get yourself and the ball in the box and run at the speed that she does, defenders can't touch her. She just needs to have that little bit more composure in front of goal, and help with assists will elevate her to another level, I feel like. But she's certainly one of the players that she kind of reminds me of myself a little bit when I was at that age, just really good, like dribbling on the ball at speed, taking players on, no fear, just taking the game by the scruff of the neck and saying, I'm going to go and win this for my team. And that's what I love about her. So she's a definite starter for me. Ellen White has to be. Goal scoring record speaks for itself. To always turns up when it matters in big games, and that leadership that she brings. And then it has to be Beth Mead, the form that she's been in this season for Arsenal, England, assist queen. And what I like about Beth is that she can play on the left or the right, and her crossing ability is she can put it on a sixpence for Ellen White in the box. So those three for me are my starting three.
So let's recap. The Athletic Women's Football Podcast starting team for the Euros is Ellie Roebuck as goalkeeper, Bronze, Bright, Greenwood, Carter and the back line, and then a midfield three of Williamson, Walsh, and then Nobbs, and then Mead, White and Hemp up front, the attacking line. Let us know if you agree with us. I'm sure there'll be some differences of opinion at Offside Rule Pod or at The Athletic UK on Twitter. Tell us why you disagree with us as well. Well, moving away from England in the other match on Sunday, Canada was the first team to actually win a game at the Arnold Draw Cup, as producer Sophie's renamed it. Bev Priestman's side beat Germany 1-0. As Manchester City's Janine Becky curled the ball in from a corner for Vanessa Gilles to head into the back of the net. Let's have just a very quick word on Germany, if that's okay, because England's next opposition, not long after this pod comes out, so we won't spend a huge amount of time on it. But Kelly, Germany knocked out by Sweden in the quarterfinals of the World Cup, failed to qualify for the Olympics. So definitely a team in transition, a little bit of the unknown, and they were affected by injuries and COVID, or have been certainly in this competition so far. What do you make of where Germany are at the moment and how will they fare against England?
Yeah, I don't think I can form an opinion on this German side until they get all their key players back, if I'm honest. But they were compact in defence. Whenever you play against the Germany side, you know they're going to be well-drilled, disciplined, organised, good defensively, and they keep themselves in games, you know, like against Spain. Spain went and scored 1-0, and Spain had so many chances in that game, should have put the game to bed, but you just felt Germany, being Germany over the years, having played against them a number of times, you just sense that they keep themselves in the game and they'll get that one chance that I was speaking about, that one or two chances that England have failed to deliver when they get their chance. Germany take their chance, and they got a draw out of that Spain game when they probably should have lost it due to Spain's chances that they had. But they were just so aggressive in their 1v1 situations against Spain. But they're missing Marajan, one of the best players in the world. Pop, your leading goal scorer. I think she's got 63 goals. Hegerin, a big, tall centre-half. Weismuth, who's the Champions League top scorer, missing her. Leupolz, who's got long COVID. So I can't form an opinion on how this German side are in this tournament as to how they will be come the Euros. But they'll be a tough task for England in the next game. But England have to score two or three goals to put the game out of Germany's reach, because they always keep themselves in games, Germany, because of their experience that they have as the manager and the players that they have. They're just very good, solid players that know how to work in that system.
Yeah, they've got this new 19-year-old wonder kid, haven't they? Jule Brandt. Arsenal fans will recognise her name. She scored one and set one up in Hoffenheim's 4-1 win over Arsenal in the Champions League. So with the final two matches, England versus Germany and Spain versus Canada, set to be played on Wednesday, here's how the table looks. Canada currently leading with 4 points. England and Spain are second and third with 2 points. And Germany are last on 1 point. The home nations have also been in action. Jess Fishlock, who we had on the podcast last week, scored 2 goals for Wales as they beat Scotland 3-1 in the Pinatar Cup. Wales face Republic of Ireland in the third place playoff on Tuesday, while Scotland play Hungary for fifth place. Northern Ireland drew 2-2 in their friendly against Switzerland. They play Romania in another friendly on Wednesday.
This is the Athletic Women's Football Podcast with Kate Borsay and Lindsay Hooper. If you're not yet a subscriber to The Athletic, you can get a subscription now for just £1 a month for the next 6 months by heading to theathletic.com/WSL pod.
You're listening to The Athletic Women's Football Podcast with me, Kate Borsay, England legend Kelly Smith and BBC football commentator Robin Cowan. In other news, WSL might introduce a light version of VAR, the Video Assistant Referee System. They've been speaking to the PGMOL about using a low-cost type of VAR, which already worries me, by the way, when low-cost and VAR is put together. But anyway, there are fewer cameras and no offside lines. They haven't said exactly when it would be in place, but we know it won't be before the 2023-24 season. There's been a lot of criticism of refereeing decisions this season. We've heard VAR mentioned by Emma Hayes, Gareth Taylor. So what are our thoughts? As a commentator, Robin, what do you think?
As a commentator, I really dislike VAR because you look very silly. You're going for it. You're giving it big guns. And then, actually, it's been ruled out. So women's football's my sanctuary case because I know even if it's wrongly given, I can safely sort of go mad at it. I think this is a really bad idea. We'll walk again, running before we can walk. Make the referees full-time first. I'm not the first person to say this. You know, that's the main thing. They need our support. They need proper investment. And then we won't need this VAR. I mean, the thing, as you said, cheaper, low cost, it just feels insulting. I know women's football isn't the same as the Premier League, but let's say it's the top tier of the women's game. And this to being lumped in with the men's lower leagues, again, just feels, and I understand that obviously cost is a problem and an issue. It just leaves a sour taste. And ultimately, it's not something that's needed.
Kelly, very briefly, is it bar the VAR or yar to the VAR for you?
I say what Robin said, exactly what she said. If you're going to do it properly. No half, can't swear about it.
No, you know, budget iPads on the touchline. Yeah. I mean, rather than screens, right?
Exactly. You've seen how difficult it's been at the men's level being implemented and different rules around it.
And they supposedly know how to use it as well.
Exactly. I just think don't bring it in. I couldn't agree with Robin more about making the referees full-time because that will raise the standards even more and then see where we go from that. But I don't want to see it in the game if it's not done properly.
No, we don't want low-rent VAR, please. Okay, well, we'll basically have to wait a little while for a decision on that one. Maybe I'll send our comments off to the PGMOL.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
So coming up this week, England take on Germany in their last Arnold Clark Cup match on Wednesday. And on the weekend, domestic action starts again. It's the FA Cup fifth round with a big Manchester derby. City won the last one a week ago, but United came out on top in mid-November. Manchester's being repainted so often now, it's hard to keep up, isn't it? I'd have to stop the kids drawing on the walls. Robin, you'll be at this Manchester derby in the FA Cup. What do you reckon is going to happen in this one?
Well, I don't think I need to go. If Caroline Weir is named in the squad, then it will be a long ranger from her and we can all go home.
Another worldie,
again.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, I think it's going to be another interesting one. I think Manchester United haven't had a statement result yet under Mark Skinner against one of the really top sides. They've come close I did this game in the WSL. It was 2-2, brilliant. Although City were down to 10 for quite a long time and Manchester United couldn't quite get over the line. And that happened again, didn't it, against Arsenal. You know, they just need to be a little bit more cute, perhaps, in trying to see good results out. So, but, you know, as you say, it was it would have been 2 weeks ago when they were beaten by City. So they just get another bite of the cherry, see how they get on this time.
Well, in the other FA Cup matches, top of the Championship, Liverpool play top of the WSL, Arsenal. In those matchups featuring WSL teams, otherwise, we've got Chelsea up against Leicester City, Reading play West Ham. One Tier 3 side is guaranteed to go through, by the way, as Ipswich Town play Marianne Spacey Kells, Southampton FC Women. The other third tier side, West Brom, play second tier Coventry United. Hope you're keeping up, everyone. Plus, another talking point, will the two struggling WSL sides, Birmingham and Everton, be challenged by Championship sides Durham and Charlton? So with all that in mind, Robin, a fixture or fixtures that stand out for you?
I think it's a really good set of ties. And I really do think so. Birmingham and Everton are both playing Championship sides, but good Championship sides in Charlton and Durham, who really are pushing the top end of the table. And both of them are so out of sorts. Everton, just no confidence. Birmingham, obviously, struggling and probably will be in the Championship next season. I really think they could be the upsets we see this weekend.
Kelly, for you?
Yeah, I'll echo that. I think Birmingham could potentially see an upset there. You know, they're really struggling for form and struggling to pick up any points in the WSL. So I can see an upset there. I'm very, very surprised about Everton's drop in form this season. We were talking about them being in Champions League spots at the start of the season.
We were, weren't we?
The amount of players that they recruited, it hasn't worked for them. And when you play a team that you know are struggling, such as Everton, it gives the other team a real G up and think, right, we can have a potential upset here. So I think those two teams, we could see some happy faces in the Championship this weekend.
I'm sure, Kate, wouldn't you be interested in how Liverpool are fare against Arsenal, surely?
Yeah, but sort of nervous, because I don't want Liverpool to be stopped in their tracks by Arsenal, who are, you know, a better team. I think Liverpool are doing really, really well this season. I would almost say, what's the point in them playing Arsenal?
Really?
because they're having such a good time in the league. Look, it's all about how they approach the game, isn't it, for this one? And as long as it doesn't blip them, then that's fine. Reading West Ham, good one for me to look out for. Of course, West Ham have got this great history in the FA Cup, haven't they, reaching the final those few years ago. Both Reading and West Ham on really good form. West Ham much better form than they were this time last season. So looking out for that one too. Listen, that's all we've got time for this week on the Athletic Women's Football Podcast. You can get in touch with us via all the socials at The Athletic UK, at Offside Rule Pod. Don't forget to check out the Offside Rule website. There are Arnold Clark Cup match reports on there as well from Jesse Parker Humphreys, some good things that they've been mulling over post-match. And don't forget to tell your friends about us as well, please. Rate, subscribe and leave a review. Thank you very much to Kelly and Robin. Kelly, I hope that surprise, surprise goes well and we'll speak to you again soon.
All right, thanks for having me on.
Robin, we hope to get you back on really, really soon, and enjoy the FA Cup action at the weekend.
Oh, I will, can't wait.
That's it from us. See you next week.
The Athletic Women's Football Podcast is proudly partnered with Now. With a Now Sports membership, you can watch the biggest moments from the Women's Super League live. Find out more at nowtv.com.
The Athletic.